Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Live from the Investors Bank Studio, Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti, Boomer and Gio on the Fan and simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. Good Thursday morning, a football Thursday with the Jets and Browns tonight on Thursday Night Football, and also a Yankees Thursday as they take care of the Boston Red Sox again last night. They are determined to not have the Red Sox celebrate that AL East championship in their building as David Price looks like David Price in Yankee Stadium once again. The offense was there, the energy was there, the starting pitching was there, and maybe, just maybe, this warding off of the Red Sox celebrating in their building, getting back Aaron Judge, maybe these things are the catalyst to turn this Yankee team into the team they need to be to make a run to the World Series. Still a long way to go, but a couple of real encouraging signs the last two nights. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
You know, I'm doing great, Gio, and I would just say that this. That's more like it. You know, the last two games, the ninth inning notwithstanding in game one, this is more like it. This is the Yankee and the Yankees. And Severino was the most encouraging thing I saw last night, and he pitched extremely well and hasn't pitched like that at any point in the second half here. And the other aspect, too, is that you got this Luke Voit doing a Shane Spencer imitation. And then you have now you have a full lineup. And I would just say that last night was like Yankee-esque from the first part of the season. And it looked good. It felt good. And guys like Greg Bird and Brett Gardner are buried. You're not going to see them. You may see them here or there. But right now they are buried. And it looks like the Yankee machine is back on track. And you know, the interesting thing is that you've had now J-Hap, Severino, and then tonight you got Tanaka. And when you think about that now, all of a sudden, as opposed to what you were thinking about 6 weeks ago, it looks a lot better right now. And the options that they have, and I know the guys were talking about it last night on Yes, the options that they have are numerous. And as long as a guy like Severino is going to look like he did last night, what do you do? And that's really the interesting thing that you have to ask yourself. And quite frankly, there's only three questions that I think that have to be answered. And we'll find that out, obviously, when they play whoever they play in the wild card game. But number one will be who's your starting pitcher.
Yep.
Number two, who's playing first base.
Mm-hmm.
And number three, who's behind the plate, depending on who's pitching and what do the matchups look like. And then, therefore, that would impact your DH.
Yeah, a whole lot is going to have to change. Yes, Severino was great last night, but a whole lot's got to change for me to not have Tanaka in that wild card game and then also have J-Hap pitch twice against the Red Sox if the series dictates that in the ALDS if you get through the one-game playoff because of how good he's been against the Boston Red Sox.
Which would be perfect. Like, that's a reason why Brian Cashman went and got him.
Yeah.
And you could see it. You could see Tanaka in the wild card. You could see Hap starting that series, and then Severino, and then Tanaka, then Hap, then Severino, right? I mean,
sure.
That's the way it would look, I would think.
Yeah.
But I don't know. At the end of the day, last night, if you're a Yankee fan, you sit down and you watch what you saw last night, that's exactly the Yankee team you hope shows up here in October.
Yeah, ever since that Neil Walker home run in the first game of this series, from there on out, that's exactly the team that you want to see heading into the playoffs. Now, still, I mean, there's a lot of time, and not a lot of time in the regular season, but enough time for them to revert to some of the things that we have seen over the last couple of months. This has to be sustainable. It really has to be.
They have to keep it.
I know it's stacked, but they've been disappointing the entire year.
I know, but it's stacked.
And Giancarlo Stanton's not hitting, and Aaron Judge is still still getting back. We could go over all the millions of things that this lineup has been when it comes to shortcomings. So, yeah, it's stacked.
But
I need to see a couple of weeks of them actually performing up to that level before I believe in them.
The other thing I take out of this whole thing is that David Price can't beat the Yankees.
Yeah, of course
not. He just can't beat the Yankees.
Well, especially at Yankee Stadium.
I mean, that guy has had an unbelievable second half and just got lit up last night.
Yeah, I mean, that things were the way they were supposed to be for a night last night for the Yankees, right? There's been many of these instances where whether you're losing to the White Sox or the Tigers or the Blue Jays or the Twins or whatever it is, it just hasn't felt right. Aaron Judge hasn't been there. Didi was out for a while. All these things. Severino wasn't himself. We haven't seen Chapman in for all these things that were the Yankees weren't themselves. And last night was one of those nights where you felt like they were them once again. But I mean, the Red Sox also, I mean, they know they're going to clinch the division. They don't have the same type of feel around these games as the Yankees do because they're still looking behind them and trying to host this game and not have the A's catch them. But this is the type of thing that could really help the Yankees as they head into the postseason where the Red Sox clinch, and they've had this thing wrapped up for forever now. Ever since that four-game sweep up in Boston, they've had this thing wrapped up. And if the Yankees ramp up at the right time, it's all about playing your best baseball at the right time in this long season that feels like it's been going on for 4 years, not one, right? I mean, it's all about playing the right baseball at the right time.
Last night, you're a Yankee fan. You wake up this morning and say, man, we got this, man. We got this.
It's going to take more than one game, man.
Forget about the collapse. Forget about that. Forget about all that crap. Now we got this. Now it looks good.
Yeah, but what happens?
Aaron Judge gets a hit last night. He looks good. I know he's been hitting the ball hard. He hasn't gotten a lot of hits on. But, hey, at the end of the day, that's what the Yankees are. And then to add Luke Voit in there, bench pressing, one-armed.
I mean,
this guy is like the next coming. This is unbelievable.
The next coming of what exactly?
I don't know, but it's like unbelievable what's going on here.
I know. And David Price was just serving him up to him to go opposite field.
They murder left-handed pitching, dude. They murder left-handed pitching. And I'm just telling you, I feel like, I wake up this morning and as the trepidation I had last week about being in the throes of the collapse and all that other stuff, man, it's amazing how it changed.
Well,
Aaron Judge is back in the lineup.
Yep.
And then the performances by J-Hap, Severino, and hopefully Tanaka tonight, you're like, okay, we got something here.
Well, you'd like to finish it off. And I really do think that they are considering what it would be like for the Red Sox to celebrate that AL East championship in their building. I think they're inspired by that.
Do not let it happen.
Now, one more to go. You took care of business the first two nights. You got one more to go.
That's right.
Now, we were talking to Al before the show about Luke Voit and some of the stuff that we expect him to do, like away from the field. Like
that guy drinks milk.
Right. He drinks whole milk.
That guy drinks whole milk.
Right.
He eats steaks and potatoes, Al. That's a throwback.
Right. Yeah.
And not non-organic chicken. He wants the antibiotics.
Yeah, he wants the whole thing. That guy will eat anything. He'll pump weights, and I'll tell you, he'll run through a wall for you.
Right. He's one of those guys that'll put two eggs in a glass and drink it. Right. He's one of those guys. He looks like someone who's really proud of his farts too. Like someone who would just be like ripping them and like, yeah, what? And then flexing after he farts. Like that's the type of guy that he is. And I think that it's great. It's a great personality to have right now.
He's adding protein powder to everything he eats.
Oh, yeah, right. Exactly. Sprinkling it on his salads and stuff. I mean, that's the type of guy.
He won 4-for-4 last night. Think about that.
Yeah.
I mean, against the Red Sox. That's great. That's awesome. God almighty. Andujar was great. Severino, seven innings, six hits?
Yeah.
And, again, He kind of showed, he's going to make it difficult for Brian Cashman to decide who to start in that first game.
Yeah, I mean, you really want to throw him right back in there after last night into that conversation? Because I don't. I mean, I'll tell you, if Tanaka goes out and really is not what we've seen over the last month or so,
then you worry about that.
Then I'll start to talk about it, but not after one nice Severino start against the Red Sox last night. Am I going to now just throw him right ahead of Tanaka or right ahead of Happ or even in the conversation? I can't have that much of a knee-jerk reaction to last night. I mean, that's why I opened up saying maybe, just maybe, this is the thing that gets him going.
Nobody's knee-jerking anything.
Oh, you're definitely knee-jerking it.
I'm not knee-jerking anything.
Well, last week you were telling me they were collapsing, and now after a couple wins against the Red Sox, here they are.
I said they were in the throes of a collapse.
Stop it.
And you know what happened? They said, no, we're not. And they came out and they played these last two games. And when you watch them play against the best team in baseball, you're sitting there saying, how are the Red Sox the best team in baseball?
Yeah, I know.
Well, how did that happen?
You know how this works, though. You know, especially when you get into September, a team that's wrapped it up. I mean, this team has been so good for the entire year. I mean, I know what we saw last night.
Dude, I'm just happy we didn't come in here and have to start talking about pass balls.
Yeah, right. Or cork.
Oh my God, I can't take it anymore.
But, I know.
See, that's what happens when you hit home runs and you knock guys in and your pitcher pitches well. You're not talking about pass balls.
Yeah, I know.
Because it just is too much.
Right, it is. And it's been a conversation that's been going on too long. But, you know, Gary Sanchez is someone that has gotten the benefit of the doubt more often than not by the Yankees and their fans. And we'll see how it's handled in that one-game playoff. So the Yankees, part one of the excitement this morning. The other part of the excitement this morning in New York sports is the Jets, and another opportunity to see them on Thursday Night Football against the Browns. And this is a Browns team that is different. They just are. They've got veteran players around that are talented. They did a lot of things in this offseason to try to win some games. So if the Jets end up not winning this game and they go 1-2, there's going to be people saying, how could you lose to the Browns? It's their first win.
It's not the same.
It's not the same. This is not the DeShone Kizer Browns of last year that didn't win a game. I mean, this is a team now that's got, and say what you want about Tyrod Taylor, but he was a quarterback of a team that went to the playoffs last year. Jarvis Landry's questionable. I think that's a big thing to keep an eye on.
He'll play
today.
I have a feeling he'll play.
But that guy, I mean, bringing him in to change. If you watch Hard Knocks, how important he was into changing that culture. Carlos Hyde, veteran running back who comes in and is a guy who provides some stability there. So, I mean, it's just a different team. And defensively, they have been great the first couple of weeks. So this is going to be they're really angry at the way that things went the first 2 weeks. I mean, they came back against the Steelers at home and then ended up tying that game. They went down to New Orleans and probably should have won that game, but wasn't for missed extra points by their hurt kicker who didn't tell anybody he was hurt. So I mean, this Browns team it's a difficult task, but the Jets still should be able to, if they play their game and give us a little bit of what we saw week one against the Lions, should be able to go in there and beat them. It's just a very tough game to pick, man. I mean, I don't feel confident at all going either way. My instinct says that this is going to be the night for the Browns on national TV. They're a home favorite. They were very close the last couple of weeks. That's my instinct. But my instinct was that the Jets were going to blow out the Dolphins at home, and that didn't work out.
Well,
so.
The Jets do get a break. Agba is not going to be playing. He's the defensive end on the opposite side of Myles Garrett. Myles Garrett is a game wrecker.
Yeah,
he's a game wrecker. He's Cameron Wake. You know, he's Robert Quinn. He's a pass rusher extraordinaire. He is a freak of an athlete. And Kelvin Beachum's going to have his hands full. That's all there is to it. I mean, Jeremy Bates has got to stop that guy. That's the guy you have to stop. You can't let him ruin the game from an offensive standpoint of the New York Jets, because that guy is one of the top 10 players in the NFL.
Yeah.
I'm telling you. And, you know, it's a short week. Beachum's a little bit older of a player. Garrett's a second-year player. He's going to be explosive. He's going to be in the face of the Jets in the backfield pretty much the entire game. You know, I was showing you yesterday how they were trying to deal with Khalil Mack from Seattle standpoint. There were at times three guys responsible for blocking him, you know, and he still wrecked the game.
Yeah.
And that's what you deal with when you have these pass rushers. That's why these pass rushers are worth so much money, because they can impact the game with just one play. The key play in the fourth quarter where you need a strip sack, you get it. And that to me is the one thing that worries me about tonight's game, that matchup, and how Jeremy Bates is going to deal with it. And again, you know, this is a short week for a rookie quarterback, so we're going to have to live with that. You know, we're going to have to sit and watch that, and there are going to be some mistakes. There'll be some big plays. Hopefully his athleticism will get him out of some trouble that he'll undoubtedly run into tonight. And It's going to be, I think the game will be close. I don't think it's going to be a blowout one way or the other. I don't think it's going to be a really well-played game because I hate these Thursday night games.
Yeah.
But I do think that the Browns are looking at this one as this is the one we have to win. We have to win this one now.
Yeah, and I'd like to see the Jets have some success in the running game like they did week one against the Lions, because they did not have that same success against the Dolphins. I think it changed just about everything they did offensively with that home opener against Miami. So if you look back to week one and what James Conner did with the Steelers and that offensive line, just basically looked unstoppable on the ground. Now, the Browns can be run on because we saw that in week one. Didn't happen so much. I mean, you think about what the Browns have faced in the first couple of weeks. I mean, you think about Alvin Kamara, too, in week two. They were able to kind of contain him in week two against New Orleans. So I want to see them be able to run the ball and make it easier for Sam Darnold to make some of those throws, because you could tell the difference of a running game starting to lean on guys, getting those chunks and making things easier for the offense from week one to two was one of the major differences.
And also, don't forget, in week one, they had a big advantage with their special teams group, you know, and they scored a touchdown. They scored a touchdown on defense. They scored a touchdown on special teams. All of that helps the rookie quarterback. They got turnovers against Matthew Stafford. They got turnovers last week against the Dolphins. And the one thing I will say, Tyrod Taylor has the lowest interception percentage of any starting quarterback in the NFL. I mean, it's like one of the best ever in the history.
He doesn't take a lot of risks.
He doesn't take a lot of risks. Now, he has thrown interceptions in back-to-back games. But, you know, that's one of the reasons why the Browns wanted him, is because he's not a guy that turns the football over indiscriminately. So you're going to have to, you know, when you go into a game against him, you're thinking, okay, you know, it's unlikely we're going to get an interception. He doesn't throw the ball a lot, but when he does do it, he is pretty efficient at it. So I don't know. There's a lot of things that go into these games, but the thing that I always worry about, and I think I always tell you this, about every particular game, there is a guy that you have to have a hat on. Like, in other words, if this guy has a good game, we have a chance to win. And that is going to be Kelvin Beachum in this particular game, because he's playing against the all-pro. He's going to be playing against the guy that definitely has difference-making ability when he's one-on-one. And on third down, it's going to be interesting to watch how Jeremy Bates handles this, especially if it's third and long. I would imagine he'll be conservative for the big part of the game if the game is close. But then in the fourth quarter, if you're down or you're nursing a 2 to 3 point lead, something like that, 4 point lead, and you still got to play the game, that's where you really got to be aware of what Myles Garrett is all about and how he can affect the game.
I know it's not all about the win-loss record this year with the Jets, and the owner has said as much when it comes to evaluating the head coach. But, I mean, if you go 1-2 with Jacksonville 10 days later in Jacksonville, well, then you're basically going 1-3.
Well, here's the deal. Team starting 1-2 since the Super Bowl era began. 105 out of 504 of those teams have made the playoffs. That's a 20% clip.
Yeah, and I don't expect the Jets to make the playoffs. I just don't want them win-loss-wise to sort of be out of it early on. You know, you want to have some excitment around week 10, little bit.
And then for the Giants, if the Giants go to 0-3.
You see ya.
Okay? Since the Super Bowl era, teams that have started 0-3, 5 out of 230 of those teams, 2.2% have made the playoffs. Five of them. And, you know, the Giants are all in this year. You know, I don't care what you say. They spent all this money. They are supporting their 37-year-old quarterback. And if they go 0-3 on the road at Houston on Sunday, man, there's going to be I can't even imagine how the Giant fans going to be come Monday morning.
Well, it's not going to be an easy game. That's a desperate Texans team that had a lot of high hopes going into this year, too. They're also 0-2, yeah.
That's right.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.